All right, well, it's 7 o'clock, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. There you go, Doug.
Yeah, it is 101.9 FM.
It's still 101.9 FM.
Yeah, yeah, and we're also on the World Wide Web at www.cfrc.ca.
Yeah, We got to throw that in there now.
No. I'm just tossing it out because that's where a lot of people are starting to listen to us because they've gone home for the summer or gone to work in different places. We have a listener in Edmonton right now who's following us.
Oh, do we really?
Big cheers, yeah, yeah.
Pretty
big shout
sure.
out.
Mm-hmm. Pretty sure she's out doing things.
Oh. Maybe.
Although, it's, where is she? In Edmonton?
Edmonton. I'm sure,
maybe she is listening. Probably nothing to do out there.
Yeah, it's early there. It's a few hours earlier than we are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So today, in our second hour, we're going to talk a little bit about the outdoors and going out. And Kristen's going to come by and chat with us.
I've been outside, Doug.
Ah, right. Where?
From the house to the car.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then I drive from the house to work, and then I go from the car to the office. So that's about the all the outdoor I
But do. You're observing Still as you time. Go.
I think by fall time I'll be all right with it.
Yeah. What, the heat or the bugs?
Well, the bugs are usually gone by fall time, right?
Oh, it sounds like you've gone away from the mic to swat a bug.
Yeah, the bugs will be gone. I dislike bugs.
Mm-hmm.
I dislike mosquitoes. Those black flies.
Oh yeah.
All of them.
Well, that's all right, but there
it's
are
just a horrible experience.
But like I was just thinking about what you said there.
That
you
doesn't get bothered by bugs,
oh.
And it's because all these bugs have gravitated towards me.
Oh, that's why we take you on hikes with us.
Apparently.
Very good.
This one year. That did happen during hiking club. Nobody would put on the repellent, as the bugs had always come to me and the other fella that was in the walking club.
You're going to be a popular person during bug season.
No, because I don't go out there anymore.
Well, they're going to drag you along.
I discovered this fact, Doug, and I'm not going out there anymore.
Ah, oh, that's no fun. I should get some
Certainly
of the sounds
is.
Of the bugs.
So, like, going outside and having to slap every part of your body,
mm-hmm.
that's fun to you? No. Because there's a bug on it? Sucking the very life from you?
Oh, there you go. So, you're worried about ticks, black flies, mosquitoes.
Ticks. Oh, definitely don't like those.
What about the other type of bugs that are on the ground or in the woods?
Like other people?
No.
They bug me too.
All right. But see, today we're talking about going out and observing it. And so you observe that there are a lot of bugs. So in the fall, we expect to go have you on trails with us.
Well, there's because like the time frame. Well, I don't know. It's the sun is in the setting,
mm-hmm.
so it's not as hot.
Oh, true.
When I go out, when I have the time to go out, but the sun is setting. It's not as hot. It's like maybe a bit of a crispness out there,
mm-hmm.
and there is less insects out there. And, it's more enjoyable.
There you go.
For myself.
And
there are those people out there that, they're going out there. They're like, oh, I'm going to go outside and and you know, wrestle a lion. And no, not me.
No,
no. It's I'm gonna go out and you know, take the sea-doo out. All right, have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Still not me.
There are fewer bugs.
Oh yeah.
Out on the water.
Boat. No.
No. Okay. No. All right.
I think I've spoke about this before. Is
you
that
have.
That, like, these people, they go out, they buy a boat, and then they spend like 90% of their time taking that boat to the water. They live nowhere near water, but they buy a boat. So then it's like in front of me as we're driving. And it's like,
and you're complaining about the space they're taking up?
Oh my gosh. And then they I'm going to stop off at the supermarket. I'm going to take up two spots.
Mm-hmm.
Because of my boat.
All right. Now let's go back to where we were going to go with this, to the getting out and hiking and taking your family out, or going with any age group in your friendships and your family, okay? Because one of the things we were asked back in January and early February was what kinds of activities can you do in each of the seasons? And today we're going to have Kristen talk with us and a bit about each season. This one,
who's she?
She's an educator and a parent and someone who's keenly interested in the outdoors. And so she's been in January and February. She did two pieces for us about the winter activities you could do. Then in March and April, she did two pieces for springtime. And one of the challenges in spring was to get out and observe. And how does being in the woods or being on a hiking trail or being near water affect your feelings? Okay, so how do you feel when you're out there? Right. You've already
I feel like it's too hot.
And you, there you go.
These insects are bugging me.
And so now we're going to talk.
What's she got to say about that?
We'll find out. I don't know if I actually told her about your complaint about insects, but one of the things that she suggested was to find a way to use technology, the apps and the tech that we have, that you carry out in the field, like your phone, you said, or a tablet, or a camera, your field notebook, and you do sketching, or whatever route that you want to take, okay? But the idea is, and I've been searching some of the items that could be used, other than the ones that I have used. I've used a notebook and charcoal and paint and sketching with a pencil and a black line, very fine black line pen. And I've got some pages with sketches here and there. And how do I keep it? So I keep it in a journal that I have that it's just about full now, but I've had it for close to 25 years, carrying it with me on trips and sort of jotting a few plant drawings or insect, or if I can have them sit still for a while. I don't have any mosquitoes or black flies for you, but I do have other creatures like millipedes and beetles and creatures in the soil around the forest floor. But Kristen had mentioned that taking the family out, the kids know how to use technology, but they need guidance on how to use it when you're finished the trip. to remind you about something or to use to investigate more. Just like you were saying, you know, what are the times of the year that you don't like to go hiking because of the bugs? Or some people right now, some people don't like to be out because of certain plants, you know, poison ivy and nettles, and those plants are a problem. Or there are other people who are struggling because there's so much pollen in the air. Have you run mm-hmm. into pollen?
Yeah. Not a fan of that either.
Well, okay. Well, that would cause a sneeze or two, right?
Several.
I'm one of those people who reacts, my eyes kind of react to too much pollen in the air. But, you know, so now what kind of pollen and what do we have? And so how do you kind of keep track of that for the area or the point where you are traveling or going to, especially places you go back to a number of times? We have favorite trails to hike or locations to go to that you know are important to us. But also when I travel to other places, I have been able to go out and experience a certain location. And I try to record a little bit of it. So you mentioned that you have something on your phone that helps you with plants.
I don't know if it's on my... it is on my phone. It seems to be a part of the phone mm-hmm. camera. And it does recognize a lot of plants.
Oh,
Like flowers and yeah. plants and stuff like that.
Well, the plants that I worry about are like poison ivy and stinging nettles. So yeah. would it recognize those, do you think?
What do you mean?
Your camera.
Can't you recognize that yourself, Doug?
Now, yes. But a lot of people don't.
Safe to say that if... just don't touch stuff. Good Don't. Chance it's poisonous.
Oh, okay.
What is it? Leaves of three, let it be or something?
That's it, yeah.
Not the rhyme?
That's part of it, yes. That's mm-hmm. good, yeah. But anyway, I was just thinking that I've watched some young people, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, on trips, and we talk a little bit, and then I watch them investigate, and they decide that I would like to do a theme today, like you said, flowers. So if it identifies flowers, then they could go and identify flowers. There is an app for plant identification, and it's fairly quick and easy. You just point your camera at it, take the picture, and it makes a suggestion of what it might be and gives you a little bit of information about it, not a lot. But if you want to dig into it when you get home, the picture and the data is there, and so you can explore more just by connecting to your Wi-Fi and searching a bit more. That's a nice one. I like that, because then you can say, okay, I don't want to worry about that, or, you know, what flowers are along the roadside, for example, my hike around the June flowers. People call some of them weeds. Some of them are very beneficial to the soil, and they put more nitrogen back in the soil, or they hold the soil from erosion. You know, ditch flowers, people might call them that. But anyway, it's just a matter of recognizing them. And you don't have to know the scientific, you know, Latin name for certain flowers. You know, what are the terms that are used so many people would know? And one of the things that I've been asking people in their area, you know, the... a group of people, Dokas community, and it's the southern part of Lake Nipissing, and their Ojibwe language that they use in their community. So I was asking if they are using some of the Anishinaabe Mohen words for those plants. And then there was this discussion that I had with two of the people there were saying that maybe you need to come and take lessons with us. And I said, sure, that would be great. It got me wondering if there are people in your community, for example, at Tyendinego or Akwesasne or even, as far out as Oswegan and in the Grand River area, if they're also doing that with young people, learning the names of plants or the recognized names of plants in Mohawk or Cayuga or Tuscarora.
They might be. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Have you heard anything?
Well, no.
Okay. So that'll be my challenge for the next couple of weeks to find out about learning language.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Good. All right. Well, I got a couple of pieces of new music for you, Sean.
Oh, no way. Good.
Yeah. And
who is it?
The Solo. Yeah. And actually, Tribes. They came out with a new one just 2 weeks ago.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. So I have only heard part of it, and so I wrote to say, yeah, we'd like to put you on our radio station, so can you send me it? And I got it yesterday. So I'm going to play it just for you. That's a new one from Tribes and one from Solo. So Solo, that was sent to us from our tech and music manager here at CFRC. So we'll give you a little information on that, too. All right. Cool. Talk to you later, Sean.
Yeah, see you, Doug.
Father would lift me high and dance with my mother and me, and then spin me around till I fell asleep. Then up the stairs he would carry me, and I knew for sure I was loved. If I could never end, how I love, love, love to dance with my father again. When I and my mother would disagree, yeah, to get my way I would run. Just to comfort me, yeah. Then finally make me do just what my mama said. Later that night when I was asleep, he left a dollar under my sheet. Never dreamed that he would be gone from me. If I could get another walk, another dance with him, I'd play a song that would never, never end. How I love, love, love to dance with my father again. Sometimes I'd listen outside her door. I'd see how my mother cried for him.
Kristen, welcome back.
Thank you.
Springtime adventures for us.
Yes, it's nice and sunny out and getting warmer.
And we're going to have some fun with this one today because you're going to give our listeners challenges to go and do things. So it's not just listen and find, learn as you go. You're going to send them out to do some things and then come back. So what's the overall theme for today?
I think the overall theme today is tree relationships. And do you want me to tell the challenge right from the start?
Sure.
So the challenge is to go out and take photographs of tree relationships, which we'll be discussing. So perhaps trees that are friends, trees that are enemies, trees that are maybe parent and child. And we'll discuss what those might look like and challenge everyone to go out and take photographs of these different relationships.
Now, that's going to be a challenge. So now we know that we're going to have either a camera or a cell phone or something that we could use.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then how do I know what trees are relating to other trees?
If we're going to talk about maybe... related to each other, then we're going to look at maybe parent and child relationships. So we'll be looking at full-grown mature trees and saplings. And we're going to have to look at the types of seeds from the trees, because if it's a tree that has a fluffy seed that is carried away from the wind, you're probably not going to find its babies close to it. But if you're looking at trees that have a heavy nut that are going to fall directly under the tree, then you'll probably find the saplings or their babies very nearby. So that's something to consider.
Okay, so that takes off from the last conversation we had about seeds and how they disperse from the tree. So how do I know what a young one is, say, of a maple tree starting to grow compared to the big maple nearby?
Yeah, I think the leaves would be the same on the sapling like this. Even though it's tiny, you're still going to notice that it's a very distinguished maple leaf. And so if you look up, maybe you'll see a big mature tree nearby.
So using the leaves as a comparison to see what they are, That's a whole study in itself, looking at tree leaves, but we'll get into that another time, right?
Yeah, so you can just match them at the very basic level. You know, if it's a sort of the five-point maple leaf, or if it's an oval leaf with maybe a jagged outer sort of side on it, you know, and that's just sort of comparing shapes and seeing if they're the same. And if you see one on a sapling or you see one on a tall tree, then they're at least the same species. And we're only guessing that perhaps they're related. But we could also maybe make some assumptions that if they're nearby, they're probably related in some sense.
Okay. And the other part of the relationship is that one is not trying to take away all the water or take away all the sun. So mm-hmm. how do we kind of compare that to what's happening with the parent and child maple tree or ash tree or mm-hmm. shagbark hickory?
So a challenge that I've given to people before is to try to find trees that are friends. And oftentimes they'll see trees that are growing very close to each other, maybe looks like they're hugging. But that can be deceiving because those trees might actually be enemies. And so the difference is if the trees are sort of wrapping around each other and their crowns are competing for sunshine, they're not friends. Those guys are enemies, and it's sort of a really slow fight, and eventually one of them will win. But if the trees are growing together and their crowns are growing apart and each giving each other sunlight, which, you know, creates their food, then they're tree friends. Mm. And so that's a challenge, to go and find trees that might be growing very close together, whether they're competing for food or sharing food. That's going to be the difference between whether they're friends or enemies.
Competing for food. Now, that's an interesting thought when you think of a tree, but it gets some through the soils.
Right.
And it gets the energy from the sun that helps make it its own food. That's why we love the sap from a maple tree in the spring, right?
Right.
So
yeah, I could have said resources instead of food, but, you know, they're competing for sunlight.
Yeah. Well, but it also creates the food for them. So, no, that's interesting. But how do I actually, when I observe what's out there around the trees, what sorts of things should I be looking for in the soil part?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
Well, for example, our walnut trees.
Okay.
You have black walnuts, and I have walnut trees here too. But I'm just wondering if I know that the ground around a walnut tree has no plants growing around it whatsoever.
Right.
So I know the walnut tree is giving off toxins to any other roots trying to get into that area.
Right.
But I wondered sometimes when I think of that tree fending off other plants for its resources, the mm-hmm. water and the nutrients in the soil. So then I'm thinking, what about the other trees? What's around them?
Right. Yeah, so you can tell if trees are not sharing the resources, I guess you could say. So beech trees, for example, take up a lot of water in the summertime. So, you know, maybe a bathtub full of water. And so any tree that is growing around a beech tree is not going to get much of that water, and they might start acting strange. So an oak tree, for example, that's not getting enough water, maybe starts sprouting branches, you know, on its trunk, which is not going to get any sunlight, and it will start to look very spiky. And that is because it's kind of, you know, for lack of better terms, freaking out that it's not getting its resources. And so if you look at an oak tree that's behaving that way, if you look at its neighbors, perhaps there's something like a black walnut or a beech tree that is taking up all of the water supply. So they're not sharing very well. So that's maybe we call those neighbor relationships, and whether you have good neighbors mm-hmm. or, you know, not so friendly neighbors, and we can take photographs of that.
Yeah. Okay. So, we're go ahead. You can take a drink there.
Oh.
Yeah. They just as you're, we're just having our tea with us as we talk, and looking at trees all around us as well. So this is the way to do it: is to get out into the area where you're going to have a small forest or a large forest, and different types of forests. But the challenge: can you tell the folks what our original challenge was at the beginning?
Yeah, so it's to take photographs of different tree relationships. So, and whether that is a parent-child relationship or a friend or enemy relationship, or maybe we'll say good neighbors and bad neighbors. Maybe there's other types of relationships out there that the viewers can discover and share with us.
One of the ones that I'm thinking of as you were telling me about these trees freaking out, you know, trying to fight back to get water. I've done a number of canoe trips where, you know, you're near canoe trips, obviously, are done on water, whether it's a river or upstreams or on lakes. But sometimes when we camp, we move in away from the winds from the lake, not too far, but then the forest floor changes. And a lot of the camping's been on through the Canadian Shield, so we're looking at granite mostly.
Right.
So I don't think that the tree roots go as deep necessarily as we find in the lowlands. So I'm just thinking that the forest itself around pines and beech and oak trees, maybe some maples, the forest floor changes depending on the types of trees that are there.
Right.
So that's something I'm going to photograph this trip, is that the relationships, but it's the forest floor, the impact on the floor.
Right.
Because that's where the stability of the tree is going to be.
Right. So that maybe affects the relationships, right? If there's lots of resources, lots of soil, lots of water, everybody's friendly. If it's sort of, fight for yourself, then maybe there's not as much sharing.
I won't be able to ask the trees, are you happy?
They can probably give some signs of whether they're happy or not, the distressed or...
Right.
Yeah.
I guess if they... Yeah, where some trees you see where the bark is coming off the trees, so they'd be stressed.
Right.
And so the stress is it an insect infestation? Is it a bacterial infestation? Or is it fighting off the neighbors?
Right, yeah.
Wow, you're giving me lots to think about here. My next hike is going to be with a group. There's going to be a whole group of us. And so I'm going to make sure that everybody has a chance to take a camera, and in the past I've asked groups making sure everyone had a digital camera or a cell phone or some type of camera available, maybe sharing. But when they come back from the hike and we go back to the cottage, the campsite, or wherever we're going back to go through my own pictures that I took. And I have to select three, but the theme now is going to be looking for relationships with trees.
Right.
And then you've got different categories for me to look at. Mm-hmm. Parent-child. What was the other one?
Friends or enemies.
Neighbors.
Yeah, neighbors.
Good one. Friends or enemies. And any other relationships?
I think those are the main ones. And I think for when I say friends or enemies, those are the ones that are growing really, really close together, and whether they're wrapping around each other because they're, you know, they love each other or they're fighting. And I think in the neighbor category, one we haven't talked about yet is some of the white birch trees, because you can tell whether they're being good neighbors sometimes based on the condition of the trees beside them, because they sort of have long branches and twigs with little knobs on them. And when they blow in the wind, they kind of, the trees beside them take a beating. So if there's, say, a cedar tree growing beside them, you might notice that the cedar tree doesn't have any branches on that side because it keeps getting whipped by the white birch tree. So that's something else to keep an eye out. And I would put that in the neighbor category.
So that's a white birch that you're talking about that can tap on other trees?
Yeah, it's sort of, their branches are a bit whip-like with little knobs on them. And so that's why they kind of, if another tree is growing a little too close to them, they make sure they keep their own space.
So that's now, you're asking me now not just to look at the relationship of one tree to another, just how they look, but also look closely at the structure of the trees.
That's right.
How are they fighting off the others?
Yeah, we probably didn't think of white birch trees as having whipped-like branches until just now.
Well, willow, have you been under any of the willow trees?
The willows do, for sure.
Yeah, you know that for sure, yeah. That'll be a handful. So this is going to be a good challenge, you know, getting out and especially with the young people, because they have to select them. And what I did with the project before, I think, we had people ages about 14 to 62 in a group, and everybody was taking pictures. We all walked on the same trail.
Right.
And when they came back, they ended up selecting their own. And what I was able to do is on a laptop like you have, put a slideshow together. Not saying whose pictures were
right
till we got to the end, but it was so much fun. Now the hike was done in a mid morning, and then the pictures were all selected during the afternoon, and then I put it together. So by 8 o'clock at night, after everybody had eaten, we all gathered around the TV set to watch the slideshow.
Right.
It was fascinating. You know, I think there were 9 people, 10 people in the group. So we've got all just, you know, 30 or 35 photos to look at. But it was fascinating. I didn't see that on that trailer. Where did you go and take that picture? You know,
right.
Then we all had a conversation about the pictures that we took along the trail. And with the relationships, it's going to be fun to see how many people were able to find the same trees from a different angle, possibly.
Right.
Yeah,
everyone brings their own perspective to it, or what they notice or stood out to them. So that would be really interesting.
Yeah. And there I was writing my notes down to go with each one. You know, here are some good ideas. Here are some things that I have to look for when I'm out. And so I learned from it, too. Much like these interviews with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Today I'm having so much fun because I'm thinking back about being in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
When you mentioned about the first part about being in relationships with other trees, I started to think, what's been my relationship in the forest with the trees? You know, so how do I respect the forest and the land and the trees, and also use it to travel?
Right. I actually had the same thought about my relationship with trees, because I've been hosting some forest basking sessions. That's what I call them. So some people might know them as forest bathing or forest therapy. But in my mind, basking was, you know, I like to bask in the sun, not necessarily bathe in it, you know. And so just a word that fit, just basking in the glory of the forest, I say. But one of the things I do with my group is I teach them a little bit of sign language, because I think the forest speaks with us silently. It gives us many messages, and I thought we could speak back. So some of the signs we learned was just some greetings when we were going into the forest. So not just to observe their relationship, but our relationship with them. So we would say, hello, forest, or hello, family. Hello, friends. Hello, brothers and sisters. And everyone can kind of choose their own greeting. And then when we leave, we say thank you. And so we just do that in sign language. So it's just a little reminder of our own relationship with the forest as we're looking at the trees' relationships with each other.
Another wonderful idea for us to try. Yeah. It's amazing, too, because you just made me think about language. And we've talked about land-based learning and language that goes with it, but in different languages, French and English and Spanish and Ojibwe and Mohawk, and those languages keep coming up. And in my Ojibwe studies, parts of the word include either the land or the interaction within that land and water and closeness and far. And so the sign language idea is really good, because then I could learn, well, do I have to learn American Sign Language or European right. Sign Language? But depends on the group of people you were with. Mm-hmm. But you and I have done American Sign Language
yes.
activities. And so bringing that to people and being awareness of what words do you want, or how do you want to put the words together in the forest to express our feelings, mm-hmm. but also to be able to ask each other questions as we're going without actually saying, as now you're going to take my radio show right out of out of the field, but you know that would be something that people could include, and that yeah. way you actually do hear the forest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it would be a nice sort of silent way for us to communicate, especially leading a group. There is some talking and discussion and guiding, but I wanted it to be more about the forest than my voice. And so it was just a tool of communication that we could use in that setting. So, yeah, it was quite a nice sort of addition to what I've been doing in the forest. And really, it put the light on my relationship with the forest, not just me observing it or using it. It was relating to it.
Mm. And that brings me to the philosophy of some of the First Nations, that it's all our relations.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think of the trees and the relationship with the trees and the relations with the animals and the insects and the bacteria, and there's yeah. so much more that we've been able to learn about through the sciences,
yeah.
but also bring it back to the how we respect what's there.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I chose those words as a greeting, because I didn't want it to just be about the trees or the forest. So I also give the option of learning the words family, brothers and sisters, and friends. You can kind of pick how you're feeling, you know, where you're at currently with your relationship with the forest, and choose which one fits you.
Mm-hmm. That I like that. My current relationship with the forest is going to change the next time I go out there, because you've given me so many things to think about and new ideas to work with. So I'm going to be taking this with some friends, and I'll report back later in the spring. This is our spring event that you and I are doing. You did one for winter,
mm-hmm.
and it was pretty cold out that day. You were sitting down with me, but we were indoors. And today we're on the fringe of being outdoors, indoors, sitting and talking. So we've decided we'd be in studio, but looking out the window.
Yes.
And I want to thank you very much for being part of our seasons and looking at the seasons outdoors.
Great. It's wonderful to be a part of. Thanks for having me.
And what is the last thought that you want people to have?
I don't know. That's always a tough question to wrap up everything. But again, it's just to go outside and focus on how we relate to the forest and how the forest relates to itself.
I like that. That is going to be great. Kristen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm like a kettle on a stove. Something's going to blow. Life's cranking up the heat. I'm getting crushed by the weight of a million different things all pushing down on me. Going to crank that Chevy key. Yeah, I got a bus free. Give me some cornfields on my left. You singing on my right. Whole lot of carefree up ahead. And all our worries far behind. Big old blue sky up above. Some red dirt underneath. Cruising with your girl in a small town world. Getting some back road therapy. Back in time, just you and I, wheels were always rolling.
Nothing we were chasing, no destination, living in the moment. Gotta get back there now. This old truck knows how. Give me some cold beans on my left, you singing on my right. Whole lot of carefree up ahead, and all our worries far behind. Big old blue sky up above, some red dirt underneath. Cruising with your girl in a small town world, getting some back road therapy. We're just a couple miles away from breaking those chains. Give me some cold feet, blue skies, red dirt, and sunshine. Give me some cornfields on my left, you singing on my right. Whole lot of carefree up ahead, and all our worries far behind. Big old blue sky up above, some red dirt underneath. Cruising with your girl in a small town world. Yeah, cruising with your girl in a small town world. Getting some back road therapy. Getting some back road therapy.
Hey, there you go, Doug. That was, well, earlier, I guess. Jerry Cerrada?
Cerrada, yeah.
Cerrada. And his, I met a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And my question was, you only met one?
Well, one special one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I get it now.
Okay.
So, hey, Doug, we're almost done.
No.
Yeah, we're almost done as we close our set with this powerhouse.
Mm.
And she started in a country, but her soul belongs to the blues.
Oh, that's good.
Well, is it?
Well, it is for me.
Anyway, it's Crystal Shawanda. She's Ojibwe. She grew up in the Wiquamacong First Nation on Manitoulin Island. She initially rose to fame as a country star, but her transition into the blues revealed her true power. So she's got a raspy voice. And it has earned her a Juno Awards and the reputation as one of the most formidable vocalists in the industry today.
Mm. So you're in for a treat, I hope.
I hope too. Sing Pretty Blues is her selection. Now, have you heard this song, Doug?
Only once. Mm-hmm. That's right, that's why it's here, I think.
Uh-huh. Get ready. Yeah. Get ready to hear it again.
That's right. Well, you know, I like her voice. And it also takes me away from some of the struggles in the media that we have these days. So, you know, listening to her singing and the ideas that she has. She is like the fellow we just talked about, Jerry Cerrada, a storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
But she does it through blues.
Yeah. Well, good.
Okay. Well, there you go. What's the song again?
Sing Pretty Blues.
Yeah. Okay. Great. We'll chat with you in a bit.
I'm סוסיר צונה אבל אם אונה נחדיק עלו אני נועד צוטה פרסה סונה לחי ואונה אילנה קלו פינועה צוטה Friends, they are standing behind me right until the end, right until the end. Friends, I have got my friends, they are standing beside me right until the end, right until the end. Hatika nunagane baimutaka
When the clock strikes midnight, the night truly begins. Step into the darkness on CFRC's Retro Radio Show, diving deep into the sounds of the past, from haunting classics to underground gems. This is DJ Terry, and every Friday night at midnight till 2 a.m., tune your dial to 101.9 or CFRC.ca and let the music pull you in.
Listen to a really good song, I start nodding my head like I'm saying yes to every beat.
Yes, 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 this rocks.
And then sometimes I switch it up like,
no!